Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, ow, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
A big old thank you to the University of Auckland and a warm welcome to Katie Gilchrist, a PhD student at the School of Environment here at the University of Auckland. Welcome.
Hi, very excited to be here.
Now, you have been on a very exciting expedition. You've been down in Antarctica over the summer as part of an expedition to collect a lot of Antarctic rock, I guess, is it in the hope of understanding ancient climate catastrophe?
Yeah, so I'm looking at these really large-scale structures, volcanic structures called large igneous provinces, and the impact that they would have had on the climate at the time. So the one that I'm looking at, as we mentioned, in Antarctica, occurred around 183 million years ago and was it correlated with this mass extinction. Which is,
so it's a giant volcano in Antarctica.
It's a giant volcanic province. It's a very large area, like thousands of kilometres wide, with lots of different volcanic activity.
Okay. On the massive, these climate catastrophes, where does this big volcanic one sit? Because I know there's been a lot of discussion around a big meteor at one stage potentially hitting Earth. Mm-hmm. Is this kind of all in the same time period of activity?
So, well, there are five main mass extinctions, and four of them are associated with large igneous provinces, which is what I'm studying. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty substantial. And yes, you mentioned the impact, the Chicxulub impact, the asteroid.
Yes.
That's that's one of the five major mass extinctions, but it's not the only one that's not volcanic, really.
If you're going to give, like, for me, with the basic, very basic understanding of these sorts of mass extinctions, what sort of stuff was happening on planet Earth around the time of the one that you're studying?
So we were looking at global warming in particular. We got sea level surface temperatures rising by like 4 to 7 degrees, causing massive like marine extinctions and just catastrophic impact on the marine realm in particular. So we'd be having drops in like oxygen levels within the marine realm, acidification of waters, so causing things like corals and things with lots of carbon locked up in like shells and such to begin dissolving, which is really impactful for anything in the marine life.
Now, the work that you're doing down in Antarctica, what were some of the challenges? What did it look like? How long were you down there for? And what was the expedition? What did it entail?
Yeah, so we were in the field for approximately 42 days.
So you've gone down to Scott Base, and then you've left Scott Base with some tents and the appropriate equipment to survive Antarctica. What else?
We're helicoptered between five different sites across Antarctica so that I could look at the whole of my field area. This involved camping out, as you mentioned. So we had our own little sleeping tents and then a larger tent, which was our communal area. The only part that was actually heated. So the rest of the time we spent in at least negative 10, if most of the time it was about negative 20 degrees. Exploring the area, walking for kilometers and collecting rocks, walking back to camp often with like 20 kilos of rocks in our bag on top of all of the survival gear that we had. So some pretty heavy bags we did.
What would you, I mean, obviously I'm very curious about the environment in the area you're in. How would you describe it to the listeners out there, the area of Antarctica?
Surprisingly dry, actually. So a lot of it, you'd expect a lot of ice, a lot of snow. Mm-hmm. We didn't actually have too much. I saw a lot of glaciers while I was out there.
Yes.
But the rock exposure was fantastic. So just imagine a really barren landscape. Mm-hmm. We had predominantly sandstones. So it was very yellow. And then, very desert-like.
Yes.
There was we have one lake in one of the areas, which is a complete rarity, but the rest was just rock.
Now, what techniques do you use to analyze the samples that you collect? How do you analyze them, and what can you learn from them?
So currently I'm prepping lots of samples in the lab and the basement of the University of Auckland to look at magnetic minerals that are held within the rocks. And I'm looking at basically how much of rock has been heated by these large-scale magma intrusions that I'm studying. Mm-hmm. And this will tell me about the potential of this large igneous province system at releasing carbon that's held within this rock. So it's similar to how we burn greenhouse gases, mm-hmm. Burn fossil fuels to release greenhouse gases, but this is happening naturally by a magma intrusion.
Have you had any surprise findings or anything like that from the rocks you've found?
Thus far?
So far, I mean, I'm right at the beginning, unfortunately,
yes.
Just starting with the prep. But I suppose, yeah, no, not so far, I don't think.
Now, how important was teamwork and logistical support from Scott Base while you were down there? How did that help with your research?
Oh, they were absolutely fantastic. As I said, we had helicopter rides all over the place. They set up all of our campsites, and they provided all of the food and all the gear and all of the field support that we needed, which was fantastic.
What would you say has been the most rewarding part of this research project thus far? Obviously, going to Antarctica is a once in a lifetime sort of opportunity.
Absolutely.
But what have been some of the rewarding parts?
Having that opportunity to go to Antarctica has been fantastic. I mean, I've come from a long way away. I'm from the UK originally. So just being able to come over to New Zealand and experience the culture here has been really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to work with so many different people in so many different areas is also really rewarding. And
What advice would you give to students or young scientists who are interested in field work in climate research?
I'd say just keep your eyes open for any opportunity that you can find. Honestly, there is a lot out there. Talk to your, if you are already in the university space, talk to your supervisors or lecturers, because they're always offering some kind of opportunities, whether it be in the field or whether they have specific lab work or other projects that they're working on. Everyone's always looking for help.
Mm. Now, how do you think your findings could contribute to our understanding of current and future climate risks?
So, although my project's not specifically focused on the impacts, the impact of the large igneous province on the climate, all of the research within my research group will contribute to this the effect of the release of carbon, which is obviously a really big issue at the moment, mm-hmm. On what we expect from the Earth's reaction, basically, to these large-scale carbon outputs in the future, hopefully.
Excellent. Is there anywhere for people to keep up to date with your research, or anywhere people can keep an eye on?
Not right now, actually, but it'd be really good, really interesting to set something up, hopefully. I think we've got a couple of, we've got an article on the university website at the moment, so keep up to date.
You can check it out. Antarctic Expedition Unearths Clues to Climate Catastrophe on the university website. Hey, now, Katie Gilchrist, thank you so much for coming in, and all the best, and a big shout out to the University of Auckland. Thank you, team.
Thank you very much.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn, thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.